Chapter 25. Both Devereaux and I glanced instinctively at the file folder on her desk. Three photographs, soon to be four. Another sad visit to grieving relatives. Another request for a good recent likeness. The worst part of the job. Then Devereaux glanced at me and hesitated. "Not a democracy," I said. "You owe it to me. I need to see this. I need to know what I'm committing suicide over." She hesitated another second, and then she said, "Okay." And we ran for her car. The Clancy place turned out to be more than 10 miles north and east of the town. We crossed the silent railroad and headed toward Kellam for a mile, deep into the hidden half of Carter Crossing, the wrong side of the tracks. Over there, the road had no shoulders and no ditches. I guessed the ditches had silted up and the shoulders had been plowed. Flat fields full of dirt came right up to the edge of the blacktop. I saw old frame houses standing in yards and low barns and sway-backed sheds and tumble-down shacks. I saw old women on porches and raggedy kids on bikes. I saw old trucks moving slow and a solitary shopper with a straw hat and a straw basket. Every face I saw was black. "Different places are for different folks," the McKinney cousins had told me. Rural Mississippi in 1997. Then Devereaux turned due north on a washboard two-lane and left the dwellings behind us. She hit the gas. The car responded. The Chevy Caprice was every working cop's favorite car for a reason. It was a perfect what-if proposition. What if we took a roomy sedan and put a Corvette motor in it? What if we beefed up the suspension a little? What if we used four disc brakes? What if we gave it a top speed of 130 miles an hour? Devereaux's example was well used and worn, but it still motored along. The rough surface pattered under the tires, and the body wallowed and shuddered, but we got where we were going pretty fast. Where we were going turned out to be a large, hard-scrabble acreage with a battered house in its center. We turned in and used a two-rut driveway that became a plain farm track as it passed the house. Devereaux blipped her siren once as a courtesy. I saw an answering wave from a window. An old man, a black face. We headed onward across flat, barren land. Way far in the distance, I could see a lone tree, chopped vertically by lightning down two-thirds of its height. Each half was leaning away from the other in a dramatic Y shape. Both halves were dusted with pale green springtime leaves. The split oak, I assumed, still alive and in business, still enduring. Near it was parked a police cruiser, right out on the dirt. Pellegrino's, I assumed. Devereaux put her car next to his, and we got out. Pellegrino himself was 50 yards away, just standing there, at ease, facing us with his hands clasped behind his back, like a sentry. 10 yards farther on was a shape on the ground. We hiked across the 50 yards of dirt. There were turkey vultures in the air, three of them, looping lazily high above us, just waiting for us to be gone. Far to my right, I could see a line of trees, thick in parts and thin in others. Through the thin parts, I could see a wire fence, Kellam's northwestern boundary, I guessed. The left shoulder of whatever vast acreage the DOD had requisitioned 50 years before, and a small portion of what some well-connected fencing contractor had been overpaid to install. Halfway to Pellegrino, I could see some details in the shape behind him. A back facing toward me, a short brown jacket, a suggestion of dark hair and white skin, the empty slump of a corpse, the absolute stillness of the recently dead, the impossible relaxation. Unmistakable. Devereaux did not pause for a verbal report. She walked straight past Pellegrino and kept on going. She looped around wide and approached the collapsed shape from the far side. I stopped 5 yards short and hung back. Her case, not a democracy. She shuffled closer to the shape, slowly and carefully, watching where she was putting her feet. She got close enough to touch and squatted down with her elbows on her knees and her hands clasped together. She looked right to left at the head, the torso, the arms, the legs. Then she looked left to right, the same sequence all over again, but in reverse. Then she looked up and said, "What the hell is this?"